Day 19, Kingdom and Calling. We are on day 19 and we only have 6 days left. I'm very proud of you. Today I want to unpack and emphasize the importance of the Kingdom of God and how your calling plays a part in God's ultimate plan. The Kingdom of God was something I kept reading about in the Bible and heard preachers talk about. But when I was young in faith, I had no idea what that meant and why that was important for me to understand. I would read verses like the following. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:9-10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Luke 4:43. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. One of the best and simplest understandings of this topic, the Kingdom of God, I have ever heard was from a resource I use called the Lexham Survey of Theology, which states, on the most basic level, we may say the Kingdom of God is present wherever the King is to be found. Jesus is present by His Spirit both in the church and in the world. So technically, Christians and the Spirit itself represent the Kingdom of God wherever they go. In other words, since our faith is in Jesus and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, we are ambassadors of the Kingdom of God, ambassadors of Christ. So what is an ambassador? An ambassador is a high-ranking diplomat who represents a state or government. They are usually assigned to another sovereign state or international organization. So in plain terms, just as ambassadors represent their respective countries or governments, Christians represent Christ here on earth. Scripture talks about us being ambassadors for Christ in 2 Corinthians 5, which says, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What this verse is saying is that God desires that humans become his representatives here on earth to proclaim or to tell the world the good news of Jesus Christ. When Christians get a hold of this truth, it is very powerful within their spiritual life. It informs and gives purpose to their actions, because now everything they do is not just for themselves, but for Christ everywhere they go and everything they do. There is another great verse in 1 Peter that says, 1 Peter 2:9-10, But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are a part of God's family, and because of the overwhelming truth of His mercy, love, grace, and forgiveness, we should be proud, not prideful, and confident, not arrogant, in who we represent here on earth and in the message we should share with the world. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Kingdom advancement. Advancing the kingdom of God calls us as believers to align our lives with God's purposes, allowing us to take part in His will on earth until His return. As we consider these things, we must understand that an end is coming, though we do not know the day or the hour. Matthew 24:36. Broadly speaking, most Christian denominations use the theological term eschatology, which means the study of the last things. This study focuses on things like the second coming of Christ, final judgment, restoration, and renewal, which we see throughout Scripture and which are brought to completion in the book of Revelation. That is why we can speak so confidently about the victory we have in Christ. We know what happens at the end, and God wins. It is also important to remember that we do not save anyone. It is the Spirit who works in and through us to convict the world that they need Him. John 16, verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. We are the vessels God uses to carry that message, and we are the hands that help encourage and assist people along their spiritual journey. As Christians, we have the key that unlocks life and purpose for every soul on earth, Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. And we should be willing to share that key with everyone who wants it. That key is salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus has given us victory and authority over the things of this world. In Matthew 16, it says this, Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. As Christians, we have been given authority through Christ to carry out God's will on earth. That is why in Matthew 28:18-19 it says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus is letting us know that he is passing down his authority to us at this moment. Now that Jesus gives us our directive in Matthew 28, can we be confident that we will have victory in accomplishing this task? We have victory through Christ. Here are some verses that speak on the idea of victory for the believer. John 16:33. "I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." 1 John 5:4. "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Romans 8:31-32. "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Proverbs 21:31. "The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our calling. As believers, we are all called to participate in the advancement of the kingdom. So many times the body of Christ, the church, leaves the responsibility of developing disciples and the work of the ministry to the church leaders. At the same time, church leaders have just accepted that role for various reasons. If we look closely at Scripture, we can see a major flaw in this understanding that has taken place in the current church. Ephesians 4:11-12. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." Friends, we have to change the way we see our role as the church. The true role of the church leaders is to equip or train the church for the work of the ministry, to make disciples. When this proper alignment happens, the church, you can go make disciples along with the church leaders, and we'll see an Acts 2 movement take place, Acts 2:42-47. This is not a spectator sport. This is all hands on deck. The reason so many Christians feel like they are missing something in their spiritual life is that they are not engaged in the calling of the mission that is at hand. They have a relationship with God, and they go to church, but at the end of the day, they still feel empty. The mission fills this gap in the heart of man. The Christian has the Holy Spirit, and with his presence, if you are not engaged in the mission, you are going against the Spirit's leading. The Spirit is always leading us towards the will of the Father, and a major part of God's will is to save that which is lost, those who are far from him. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." This is another reason I have created this tool, AfterSalvation.com and AfterSalvation app. I want you to feel confident and equipped to help others on their journey. You do not need a seminary degree to make disciples. You just need the desire, boldness, and commitment to step out in faith and do it. We are the only ones who can be accountable for our faith, so it is up to us to know what we believe and how to live out our faith. Also, I have heard many times, "I'm not a very influential person. Who will I disciple?" The truth is, everyone has some type of circle of influence. Some are small and some are big. Regardless, be faithful to those that the Lord has placed in front of you and contribute towards their spiritual growth.